Welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast with me, Sam Harris, your host. I invite fascinating humans from all walks of life to share their wisdom and unpack their mindsets and formulas for growth.
Welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast. Today, I'm delighted to have Melissa Monte, the host of the Mind Love Podcast, on the show, who runs an awesome podcast and going to go explore all things about mind, loving ourselves and getting the life we want and these kind of things. So welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. So you do some cool things and you've recently launched into kind of being a mother, taking on that project full time, as well as like keeping your podcast going and the whole community there and sort of living a life on like your terms. And if you could give me like a 2 minute, what's Melissa's philosophy on life?
Sure. I've really kind of spent my whole life trying to find it. But what I've noticed in the last 5 years, especially what keeps coming up for me is this whole idea of self-love, growth, whatever we're working towards, all comes back to knowing yourself. Knowing yourself includes being willing to spend quiet time alone, not always be distracted, not always be scrolling or watching or consuming in some way. You have to stop and ask yourself those questions. And so for me, when I was younger, figure out who I was based on the people around me. Like, oh, well, my best friend likes this, so do I. Or this is the cool thing, so this is what I'm going to go for. Or this is what everyone says success looks like, so that's what I'm going to follow. And wondering why, no matter where, when I got there, it was really through processing my own traumas and some of the horrible things that happened in my life in my early 20s that showed me how to get there. And so it seemed like my rock bottom or some decision I made that nearly ruined my life, but really all it was doing was guiding me towards a higher purpose. And so for me, I had to kind of get slapped in the face by life before I realized that. I don't take subtle hints well, apparently. But once I actually finally started to listen and to discern between my inner voice and my programming, then I started how to actually fulfill myself, even if it didn't look like what it looked like for other people. And so that's really been my journey now. And one part that I find fun about it is that I'm still exploring. I think that through the rest of my life, I will keep finding layers of myself and new ways to find that fulfillment or find that peace or find a way that I can give some purpose in this world. And so I'm still in the middle of my journey, but so far I feel like I'm on the right track.
Cool. It's nice to hear. I think we're going to get along. I feel like that's basically my philosophy on life and we can go into it all day long. And what was like the, you know, you said you got like slapped by life a few times and like it took some real big things to really like make you realize it. What could you sort of explain what it was that like made you go, ah, oh, damn, I'm really doing this wrong?
Oh yeah. So I had a pretty great life growing up. I was like an honor student. I got really good grades. I had a lot going for me, according to the people around me. But like I said, I mean, I don't think any teenager fully knows who they are and is looking in all the wrong places. Well, I ended up being sexually assaulted when I was 15. And then the next year I lost a really close friend to suicide. I was sexually assaulted again. And then I lost my dad, all in a very short period of time. And so I handled this by self-sabotaging even more, as little sense as that makes. These things that happened to me really affected my self-worth, and I thought that I could just overpower them with positivity. But what ended up happening by my unwillingness to look at it or to sit with it or to process it just started to affect my subconscious. And so the beliefs that I held about myself were affecting the way that I approached the world, and I made a lot of bad decisions. I was the only way to actually not feel what I was going through was through numbing. So I was partying like 5 nights a week, was doing copious amounts of drugs. I developed a really severe case of bulimia, and I was dating all the wrong people who treated me the same way I treated myself, which wasn't really good. And so I ended up in a pretty horrible relationship with a sociopath that throughout our relationship, I found out just one by one that he was addicted to alcohol. He was addicted to meth, I found out about 6 months in. His dad died the weekend I met him though, so I was making a lot of excuses for his behavior because I was like, I'm gonna love you the way I wish people loved me when I was going through all that. And so he was also cheating on me. And then the final straw was I found out he was secretly robbing houses. And the way I found this out is that I was arrested with him. And so I ended up being a situation where if I went to trial to prove my innocence, he also had to go to trial because our cases were connected. And long story short, I took a felony for someone else's crimes and I was in a jail cell trying to figure out where to throw up my food. And that was the exact rock bottom that I needed to say, oh my gosh, I've ruined my life. And I remember sitting there thinking, thinking, like, when I was a kid, I would be playing like Super Mario Brothers and I'd lose a life too early. So I'd just press the reset button and start over because I wanted to go in with like a clean slate and full life force. And I just remember thinking about that while I was sitting in this jail cell thinking, this is going to be with me forever. I can't press the reset button on this. It was really that where do I go from here that spoke to the rest of my life. And I had a choice eventually after some wallowing and some numbing after that. It was like, what do I do? And instead of focusing on all of my limitations, like, oh, I can't do this or I can't do that, I decided to use my limitations more as guideposts, steering me in the direction I could go. And I thought, well, what can I do with no one else's permission? And that's when I started to teach myself digital marketing, which I did for 10 years. I ended up winning contests. It set up my freelance career. And then when I finally decided to launch my own thing, I knew how to grow it. Thankfully, that felony could have been the worst moment of my life, but it ended up pointing me exactly in the direction that I needed to go.
Thanks for sharing the story. Really believe that often it's like the really bad things that are great. And having had like big things like happen to myself, it's sort of, you see like the growth that you go through. And then when you start sensing that something else is going fantastically wrong, it's almost kind of exciting these days when you're like, I'm going to learn so much from this. I'm just going to work out. I don't even know how it's going to work out, but it's going to be great. It's kind of cool when you realize that you are anti-fragile and that your adversities make you stronger. Have you been able to educate people to develop these mindsets without them going through a major terrible tits up issue with life? As in, do you think you could have become the person you are today without having had like all those shitty things happen to you?
Early 20s, late teens, it's so rare to talk to someone that doesn't believe that they've had any sort of trauma. But if you have not gone through anything and then the first thing you go through is a breakup, that feels like a life trauma. And so we all have these things. It just depends on how much does it hurt? Does the pain of change, does that feel less than the pain of staying where you are? And so for some people, that takes a lot more life hitting them in the face than it does for others. For other people, it might be like, oh, well, I lost a job. This isn't going very well. I need to go deep into introspection or whatever it is. And for me, I needed to get a little bit further down to reach that. And so I think the people that do seek out some sort of self-development already have that feeling. They want to be a little bit more intentional with their life. And I think that's all it really takes. And however it takes you to get there, you do have to have that willingness. I don't think I've ever been able to go up to somebody that thinks they're completely happy with their life and make them decide to start doing mindset work. So yeah, we all get there in different ways. But I think no matter what way we do find our way there, it's exactly how we're supposed to.
Everyone's kind of different. The universe has its funny way of working things out for us. So you mentioned like knowing yourself and that, like, well, what you just said there really harks back to like, it's different for different people and they of course need to know themselves and these things. And why do you think when we're growing up, we want to sort of have the same things that we see around us and have the success that other people had? And how do we like stop people from feeling that way besides them like learning through like a very slow process of life of being like, oh wait, actually this is really crap. I don't even like doing the things that the other person has. So just sort of, and they maybe aren't even as happy as you think they are, like watching people on social media that have these like ideal lives and stuff. How do you get people to develop the mindsets of actually just being happy on their own terms rather than trying to like seek happiness by what they see in the media?
You know, this is going to be my greatest exploration. I have a 3-month-old right now, and so I'm very interested in how I'm going to help him develop some of the things that took me the long way to learn and seeing if I can kind of shorten that up. Be a little bit more aware. When do I feel my happiest? What triggers me? What really lights me up? Like asking myself those questions and actually feeling it inside rather than like, oh, this is the next thing to chase. It comes from two different spaces, I feel. There were so many times that I felt FOMO or felt left out or felt urgency when something else was going on, like I was going to miss out on something. And I've really spent a lot of time trying to figure out why. And I really believe that it's like I felt if I didn't show up to certain things that I wouldn't be remembered. For me, the greatest teachings I've learned from myself is when I just have a willingness to slow down and ask myself a question and see what comes up. And so often we think, oh, well, I already know all the answers to these questions, but we're not actually processing it. We're not actually sitting there and listening to our wisdom. And so all of that other things, they could be programming. It could be what we've seen around because those are the first images that pop up. And so it was really when I started taking that time to be a little bit more introspective and allow new answers to come up that I started to feel more guided. For me, with my son, I'm going to start asking him those questions when he's younger. What did you love about that experience? What could have gone better? Who did you feel drawn towards? Just different questions to show how to interact with himself in a way that I wasn't taught. And it took really reading a lot of books to find those little pieces of wisdom. And so I'm excited to see how it goes, but this is my first child, so I'm not sure what the results are going to be. And I think, like I said, my way of finding my purpose or finding my path was different from somebody else. And so I think maybe what works for my kid won't work for somebody else's kid. And so it really does take playing with those relationships.
Yeah, as in, you know, you need to learn from life of stuff kicking you in the face. As in, do you think you can overparent, and that, like, actually part of your role as a parent is to let people just make mistakes and have bad things happen to them?
Do I think I can overpower it?
No. Do you think you can kind of overparent and, like, sort of trying to be too good, but then it kind of can backfire?
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. I think people do need to find their own mistakes. I don't think life is about figuring out how to not make mistakes. It's about figuring out how to learn from them. And so I'm not going to be trying to shield my child from things. I needed a lot of those lessons. I hope I can parent him in a way where he needs a few less lessons to get to where I got to. But my role is going to be allowing him to fall and then being there to show him how to work through it afterwards, to not let a failure affect what he believes himself to be capable of, or not let something create a fear that's going to stop him from taking risks in the future. I think trying to have a life without these lessons, I really believe it's the contrast that helps you feel the joy. And so the depths of my pain is also the height of my joy. And so not saying that everybody needs to have that deep of pain, but if you're shielding yourself from all of it, I think you kind of end up with a numbness that shields yourself from the joy and the excitement.
Definitely. Yeah, then you sort of spoke about, like, knowing yourself and how you can sort of get distracted and consumed by other things. As I mean, sort of far back to, like, all the different things you went into, but what do you think is the best way to kind of work out who you are exactly, if that makes sense as a question?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of introspection. What I knew about myself a few years ago may have changed to this year, but I've also been in different experiences between that time. I was out of my rock bottom. I was already on a growth path 3 years ago. Even to this day, when I feel myself triggered, instead of assuming that it's the trigger's fault, I ask myself, what is unprocessed? What do I still need? And a lot of times in that process, I end up figuring out something else. It might be something else that brings me joy, or something, some other way I can handle a situation. And so a willingness to look back on what we've done and process it. And that doesn't mean to have any regrets about it. I could have so many regrets about my life and the decisions that I've made, but instead I chose to see it through the lens of, why did this happen for me? What is this steering me towards? What can I do from here? Instead of looking at, can't do this, whatever it is. And so just taking a few moments and asking yourself questions after an experience, before an experience, when you feel something big. Oh, I feel so excited. What's driving this right now? Is it the people that I'm with? Or is it just that I'm out dancing? What is it? You know, and asking yourself those things, because then later on when I'm like, I feel so down, I'm like, remember how lit up I felt when I was just dancing at that concert? Can I dance right now? Can that shift my energy? Take note of what happens then. And so I think so often we're just taking the next action and not really thinking about it that much, but just an extra thought or an extra feeling of presence or awareness to say, well, what this moment? What do I feel right now? That can tell you so much about who you are and the way you move in this world, who you're drawn to, what you can focus on that's actually sustainable instead of just something that is being shown to you that seems bright and shiny for the moment. I mean, I chased the wrong purposes. Till I took that introspection about, like, what am I endlessly curious about? When have been my happiest moments? When I think about my strongest memories, what was I feeling in those moments? All of those things spoke to what my values are, what drives me, what motivates me, what I am endlessly curious about. And so each thing, it wasn't some big aha moment. It was just a willingness to be in the present moment. And then eventually you start to spot patterns that give you a clearer picture of who you are, who you want to be, and how you're going to get there. So it's a process that I think I'll be going through in my entire life. But again, it's simple and it's just an extra moment of awareness.
On the same topic, one thing I found is that in relationships, as in the better you know yourself, the easier it is, because you kind of, you find people that you think are right for you, whatever, and you're trying to like sort of please them in different ways and trying to change yourself, when actually like when you have the right person for you, and you kind of know because you know yourself and that you're just being more of yourself, and that's when you come out and like that's what you should be looking for. Whereas when you're trying to sort of change to sort of do something else or like trying to change other people, it's like it's just you don't need to. You're just naturally being you. Yeah, I don't know if you sort of found that in your relationships leading up finding the one, or if you have found the one, all I know is that you have kids and I'm not sure, but I feel like you've probably got some pretty good advice on that. What questions would you ask someone to help them find that they should be like reflecting on, like to help them find that better in themselves?
I think the most important thing that has helped me find anything, I think that emotions are like guidance for people. And so when you're going somewhere and you feel a pit in your stomach, take note of that. It might take you a while to figure out what that is. I've talked about the difference between your inner wisdom and your programming. And so when you feel that, then start ask questions about that feeling. There have been times where I feel like, no, I should not be going on this path, or I should not be making this decision. And then I ask myself, well, is this based on love or fear? Because not every time that I feel that desire to stop or to maybe I shouldn't take that risk doesn't necessarily mean I should stop. There's sometimes where that feeling is just coming from self-doubt or from past failures. And so the willingness to sit with the feeling and ask yourself questions about the feeling will ask, well, is this coming from love or a doubt in myself? Or is this coming from love? No, I shouldn't take this because I get a bad feeling about this person and I know I deserve more. Or I'm not going to take this opportunity because I want this other opportunity that lights me up more. And so it's not just the feelings that are guiding you or that are so obviously guiding you. It's sitting with those feelings and asking what's underneath it. And so the more that I do that, the faster the answers come. When you're hanging out with friends, like, what about this feels so fun? What is turning me off? What is making me want to go home? Is it the people's energy? Is it just that I need alone time? Like all of these things, just that extra moment can open yourself up. You know who you are, how you move in the world, and what draws you toward it, what repels you against it. And so our relationships with ourselves are the most really important relationships that we have. And the more that we have those inner dialogues, the more we will recognize our own guidance.
Congratulations on listening to a whole episode of the Growth Mindset Podcast. Before you race into another podcast, try pausing. Ask yourself, what have you learned? What could you change? How will you make that change happen? Did you press pause? Knowledge is useless without action. What did you learn? What should you change? And how will you make that change happen? You can tell us what you learned by contacting us through the website, growthmindsetpodcast.com, and feel free to connect with us or our guests, or just peruse the show notes. Our Instagram is @growthmindsetpodcast, or follow me @samjamsnaps for a daily reminder to stop using Instagram. If you enjoy random acts of kindness and want to support the show, you can support us on Patreon or leave us a review on iTunes, and you'll make me very happy. And with that, keep learning and keep growing.